The Lord uses various word pictures in the Bible to help us understand who He is and our relationship with Him. For example, He likens Himself to our Heavenly Father and we as His beloved children. Christ likens Himself to a loving groom and we His redeemed bride. Perhaps one of the most enduring analogies of Christ is that of Christ as the shepherd and we as His sheep. Jesus tells of a parable in which the shepherd takes a lost lamb and he places it over his strong shoulders and he carries it back home. And he says, and there's great rejoicing in heaven over the lost being found. We see that these analogies of Christ as a shepherd and we as His sheep are truly filled with figures of compassion, give us a sense of security, and give us a sense of direction and care, because Christ is our shepherd. He is called in the Bible the Shepherd of Israel, the Chief Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Shepherd and Overseer of our souls. Jesus Himself identified His life as, I am the door of the sheep, and I am the Good Shepherd. And His identity as our shepherd is truly consistent with the purpose of John's Gospel, where he writes, that you may keep on believing Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. John chapter 10 appears to be connected or continuation of the discourse that Jesus had with the Pharisees and the man who was born blind and was healed. And I think it will help us to see this connection between the previous chapter, which is that chapter 9 of Jesus healing the man born blind, and chapter 10, where Jesus describes Himself as the door of the sheep and the good shepherd. For we see that He came to Israel as their shepherd, authenticating His message and His ministry to be true. He came to His people. He called His sheep in chapter 9, and we see that the man who was born blind was one of His lost sheep. After his blindness was healed, we saw Christ coming to him and seeking him out. And this man who had not seen Jesus before, after Jesus had spoken with him, he had said that, I believe in your word. And we see that he was saved, a lost lamb, if you would, brought back to Christ. Those who did not hear Christ in chapter 9, Jesus concluded, were not his sheep. And the Pharisees definitely did not hear because they were not of His sheep. They were like wolves in sheep clothing. They used and abused the sheep for their personal advantage. And the bottom line was that the Pharisees did not love God and they did not love and care for God's people. Jesus came and observed the condition of His people. We read in Matthew's Gospel, and he saw the people, and it says His heart was moved with compassion, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, downcast and downtrodden. They were weary. The people were literally weary. They were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And with a heart of compassion, the true shepherd, Christ himself, arrived and he announced that he had come to save them from their sin. So with this brief introduction, let's now look at John chapter 10. We want to look at the words of our Lord as it relates to him being the shepherd, the door of the sheep, and how that fits together with chapter 9 and what we can learn about Christ as the door of the sheep. We see that Jesus first claims that he is the true shepherd of his flock. That's been basically what Jesus has been teaching in chapter 9, that his witness is true. Let's look at verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Who is Jesus referring to? Seems to be pretty clear that he's referring to the false shepherds, the Pharisees, if you would, who were the sheep stealers. They had not entered the sheepfold or the corral through the proper and biblical means. They had held titles as shepherds, but were not legitimately appointed by God. And this had been a problem in Israel throughout its history. The Lord even spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, and he indicted the clergy of the day for their disregard for God's word and for God's people. If you have your Bibles and want to turn there with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 10, you will find, I think, a helpful background as to the Pharisees and the condition of, if you would, the clergy in the day in which Jesus encountered these Pharisees. And we find that the Lord speaks through Ezekiel these words, Ezekiel 34. And he says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them," imagine these to be the predecessors of the Pharisees, who will help you. "Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them." So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. When I read this passage of Scripture, it should cause every pastor, every missionary, anyone who's involved in ministry, to pause and to ponder the seriousness of the call. The call to the pastorate is not for personal, professional, or financial gain. Rather, it is a call to care for, to protect, and to feed God's flock through God's Word. And those who forsake this privilege shall be held accountable before the Great Shepherd. What an awesome, awesome responsibility and privilege. What Jesus is saying here is that he's accusing these shepherds of Israel, the Pharisees, of not entering into the sheepfold by the door. In other words, they had climbed the corporate religious ladder to places of authority and honor, but not through biblical means such as a calling, a compassion, and a commitment to the Word of God. Yes, they may have had winsome charismatic personalities, impressive intellect and strong leadership skills, but they were not true shepherds. They were not anointed of God. And the Lord's evaluation of Israel's shepherds is captured even in Isaiah 56. Listen to this. Isaiah 56, 10 through 12. It is certainly not a flattering view of the clergy, even into the days of our Lord and the Pharisees. The Lord says, His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Every one for his own gain. This last little phrase absolutely is captivating to me. He says, they all look to their own way. Every one for his own gain from his own territory. They're very territorial. Come, one says, I will bring wine and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today and much more abundant. Jesus, in referring to these shepherds of Israel as thieves and robbers, certainly was fitting. You may remember in chapter 9 that after the blind man had come to them and shared of how he was healed. You may remember that he even challenged them, and they ultimately excommunicated him, kicked him out of the temple. And it was Christ who came and sought him. Jesus is saying, you are the false shepherds. You are the thieves and robbers. And the word that is used here is also fascinating. When Jesus, in the Greek, where the word or the name of thief is used. In the Greek, it is kleptes. Does that sound familiar to one of our English words? Kleptomaniacs? That is how should I say, clearly Jesus spoke to them. In essence, what he is saying to these religious leaders is that they were spiritual rip-off artists. Pandering their legalistic claims of health, wealth, and prosperity to religious consumers, and it left them weary, weak, and feeble. Jesus, however, announced that he was the true shepherd who had come for his sheep. Look at verses 2 through 6. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus here, if you follow along in his argument, is giving characteristics of those who are truly of his flock, who are his sheep. He claimed that he had entered into the sheepfold by the door. Not as these thieves and robbers who tried to find some other way to enter in. And so it might be helpful for us to take a moment to describe the ways of a shepherd in the first century. When shepherds were in towns or in their own home village, they would go to a place that would be like a public corral. And there would be high walls around it with a door in front. It's really rent-a-sheep territory. You have an inn for the shepherd and you have a place for the sheep. And you would place your sheep in this pen. The door would shut and there would be a hireling or a doorkeeper watchman over the door. And that way the shepherd could come back in the morning and to call his sheep. What is interesting is that when he would come to the door, there may be other sheep in this flock as well. So that it would be a holding pen, if you would. And he didn't have to go through and start figuring out which one was his sheep. What he would do, the good shepherd would be able to call out their names. They would hear his voice, and they would come out while the other stayed there. That is, in essence, what Jesus is saying. And Jesus has accused these Pharisees of being pseudo-shepherds who didn't come through the door of the corral, but rather they scurried up, they climbed up, if you would, the walls like criminals to take advantage of God's people, the sheep. The Lord, however, takes very careful concern for his sheep, for he likened Israel to his flock. And the doorkeeper, he said, opened the door for him because he was the true shepherd. But we ask ourselves in this analogy that Jesus gives, who is the doorkeeper? Well, I'd like to suggest to you that the doorkeeper is really a reference that Jesus used to, if you would, the scriptures. That Jesus identified himself as the true shepherd of Israel that had been foretold in the scriptures. Yes, he did come through the door of time and space as predicted by the prophets. He was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit and of a virgin, of the seed and in the city of David. John the Baptist opened the door for him and his ministry. And the Holy Spirit certainly descended from the open door of heaven, anointing him for ministry. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that he came through the door of the scriptures, rather than storming the sheep like a thief or a robber. He, in other words, was the legitimate shepherd to his people. He came according to what the scriptures had said. His relationship with the sheep, as seen here, is to be personal and intimate. And even though there were other sheep in the corral, when he called out his sheep by name, they heard and they recognized his voice. In John chapter 10, verse 16, something we'll look at next week, Jesus alluded to other sheep being in this corral or sheepfold. But they were unknown to the Jews at that time. We'll find out that this other flock within the corral that he's alluding to are none other than us, the Gentile church. That there would be a day when he would call out his voice and intimately and personally call each of us to himself, and we would hear and we would follow. But here's the principle. His sheep will hear his voice and believe, while others will not hear and will not believe. In John chapter 10, verses 26 through 28, Jesus explained to the Pharisees, again, why they did not believe, and yet, if you would, why the blind men heard him. He says, but you do not believe. Why? You can almost anticipate that answer, can you? Because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I cannot think of passage of scripture or verses that are any more assuring to God's people than these verses. Talk about security. Talk about love and protection and guidance. They're there. Those who hear are those who are called of God. I believe Paul describes this, if you would, effectual calling in Romans 8, 29 through 30. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also, what? Called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. It helps us to understand this whole notion of those who believe are those who hear. Those who hear are those who have been given ears to hear by our Lord. Jesus also says that he calls his own sheep by name. And you might imagine a shepherd calling out individually to his flock. Come. Come, Fluffy. Here I am, cotton ball. And yes, little mutton, come over to me. You know, one thing I've observed about us, we all like to be called by name. We like to be personalized, not impersonalized. And imagine Christ, the Good Shepherd, calling out to us. Come. Come, Don. Yes. Sally, Susan, whoever you might be, come. Yes, buddy, come on, come. This analogy is filled with such wonder and delight. It is intimate, it is personal, and that is what Jesus is trying to convey. Just as he called and the blind man heard, so he has called you. If you have heard and you believe in him. And perhaps he's calling your name even today. There's also another beautiful picture of Christ's intimacy and knowledge of his people that is seen in type and shadow in the Old Testament. The great high priest wore a robe with the names of the 12 tribes inscribed on onyx stones that hung over his shoulder. But he also had a very similar set of stones that had all of the 12 tribes' names inscribed on these stones as well over his heart. Why? To show us that God was intimately acquainted with us and that he had us on his strength. That his strength covered us. But he also had these stones over his heart to remind us that we were always in the heart of God. And so when the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, he was literally carrying, if you would, the personal, intimate names of the tribes of Israel. Because Jesus Christ is our intimate high priest, who is constantly interceding for his people. He is our great shepherd. And he knows our names. And he calls them out. And we hear. And we believe. And we follow. Christ also says that he leads his sheep. He leads them out of the corral and he goes before them. He doesn't need to drive his sheep, which was so characteristic of the Pharisees. They beat the sheep. They ruled over them. Christ leads. He goes before them, always preparing the way for us. There isn't a place that you have walked that Christ has not walked before you. And some of you have walked through some very dark valleys. And you may not have seen his footprints in front of you, but they were there. And he is there now, walking with you, walking before you. His sheep not only hear and recognize his voice, but he says, but that they follow him. This is characteristic of God's people. They hear, they recognize his voice, and they follow him. The Lord spoke through Ezekiel as a shepherd who cared for his flock. Listen to the Lord say, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I will deliver them and bring them out. I will feed them in good pasture. I will feed my flock and make them lie down. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away and bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. That's what a good shepherd would do. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of this amazing prophecy given to Israel. And once again, Jesus repeated that his sheep know his voice. They recognize the distinctiveness of his voice. And we do that today through the scriptures. We recognize the distinctiveness of his voice. And what a perfect illustration or description of what occurred when the blind man was healed. As I said before, remember after he was healed, he had not seen Jesus, but had been miraculously healed when he went into the pool of Siloam and washed his eyes. He hadn't seen Jesus. What had he heard? The voice of Christ. And then when Christ sought him out after the Pharisees, the pseudo-shepherds had kicked him out, Jesus came to him. And he said, you have seen him and you now have heard him. And he recognized the voice with the face. And he says, and I believe. The scripture says he prostrated himself right down on the ground and he worshiped the Lord. What a perfect example of one who has heard and one who believes. Jesus said that he was the shepherd who goes before his people. Christ's sheep not only hear his voice and believe in him, but they also follow him. And Jesus said, rather than the strange voices of other shepherds. I think there is a real comfort here, a reminder for God's people, that even though there are apostates in the world and there are deceivers, God will be faithful to his people to keep us from ultimate deception. Instead, God's people will follow him and they will flee from Antichrist's false prophets and phony shepherds. Now look at verse 6. Jesus used this illustration, that is, of the door of the sheep and so forth, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Why did they not understand what he had just said? Well, if you've been following with me so far, consistent with the analogy, they did not believe because what? They were not of his sheep. His sheep hear his voice and believe. And that is the indictment on them. They were in his presence, they heard his voice, but they did not believe because they did not truly hear. They did not believe. He is the true shepherd of the flock. Now let's look at Jesus' claim now to being what I call the only door of his flock. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come to destroy except to steal and to kill and destroy. I think it might be helpful here to distinguish between two kinds of sheepfolds or corrals. The first one we talked about was in verses 1 through 9. And that is the one that is sort of a village or a town that had maybe a brick or stone walls and it had a door in front of it. But when the second kind of corral was used, it would be used out in the mountain valleys or out in the open pasture. And there a shepherd would build very, maybe hastily with brush, a place to protect from the predators. And he would lie in an open space in front. And he would take a little campfire and let out his bedroll. And he would sleep in front of this opening. That's what Jesus is trying to say to these people who were, if you would, the false shepherds. And what he is saying, that he is the door. That he is the door. I think that there are some important things that we need to understand about this, and that is for people who may feel like they're going through extremely difficult times. Let me say this. Christ does not allow anything to enter our lives that doesn't first come through him. He does not allow anything to enter our lives that is not going to accomplish his holy purposes or our good. Nothing. Now put that into the equation of what you're going through. He is the door. Nothing can approach, nothing can come and touch you that does not first have to go through him. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. And it is certainly legitimate to say that Christ is narrow, that his claims are very narrow. I hear that about people talking about Christians, how narrow they are. In essence, he was saying he is the only door or way to God. And admittedly, it is a very narrow door. Only Christ is that door. But there is only one gate that leads into his kingdom. And a time is coming, we are told, when that gate of faith will be closed, and it will be too late to enter in. Jesus also made the stinging remark, "All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers." I think what he's saying is all those other shepherds who came before me, as well as his present audience of Pharisees, were like thieves and robbers. And he pointed out that his sheep heard his voice, and they did not hear them. In other words, those who are truly of God did not believe in them. And once again, Jesus claimed, "I am the door," in verse 9. He is the only way. He reinforces that. The only door to salvation. But he says, "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." There is no other access to the Father except through faith in Christ. And Jesus said, that they will go in and out. They will have access. They will have freedom. And that is what Christ does. He liberates his people. Liberates the flock, if you would. He liberates them from sin. And he liberates them from death. Jesus had said that previously. He says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That's what the good shepherd did. He set them free, but he said, "Follow me." There is freedom in following Christ. The greatest freedom that you could ever find is obedience to Christ. And those who trust in him shall not want for any good thing, for he says, and they shall find pasture. He's our shepherd. He leads, he restores his sheep when they are tired, they're discouraged and depressed by the pressures of life. That's the good shepherd. He feeds us, he restores us. Sometimes he even has to say, "I make you lay down." The false shepherds, on the other hand, they come to do harm. For every naive sheep, there are 10 shepherds who would gladly use and abuse the sheep. And nothing has changed since Jesus' time. We are seeing a proliferation of false doctrines and phony shepherds in our day. And we must heed the warning of the Apostle Paul to take heed to ourselves and to all of the flock. Savage wolves are on the prowl to devour and disrupt God's people. And they seek, we are told, to draw away disciples for themselves. More than ever, we must have a compelling love for God's word and each other. Jesus Christ also promised that he is the way of life for his flock. Notice what he says in verse 10. And I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I don't know if you ever underline your Bible, but I find this one underlined in mine. I think this is such a wonderful way to see Christianity. God did not send his son just to remove the wrath from us. He came to give us life now and forevermore. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. That's another way of Jesus saying, I'm the door, and no one can enter in except by or through me. We were all like sheep going astray, but now we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And we are told that when the chief shepherd appears, we will receive the crown of glory that does not or will never fade away. And we shall be united with Christ and shall forever enjoy the presence of his glory. He did not come to just save us from wrath, but to give us life now. Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Not one thing. Philippians 4:19-20 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the door of his sheep. He is the true shepherd, the only door of his sheep, and the way of life for his flock. One of the most enduring analogies that is given in the Bible of Christ is our shepherd and we as his sheep. And it was for us that he laid down his own life, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly.